So earlier we chatted with Mr. Manners about etiquette involving your coworkers for all those holiday parties that are happening this time of year. Well, we thought you could also use some more advice on this topic. In this case, a little more help understanding your coworkers or maybe even your boss. Steve Factor is a former executive with American Express and author of the book Econovation, the Red, White, Blue Pill for Arousing Innovation. And we'd like to hear from you. What work personality are you? Call 312-923-9239 or tweet using the hashtag MorningShift. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nyla. How are you?
Good. Thank you. So tell me about these nine work personalities.
Well, it started out innocently enough as I was trying to implement an innovation program at a large company. And I ran across a couple of people where I said to myself, I can't believe this person actually exists. So I started jotting down their characteristics and some of the things that they were doing. And then I started to, you know, expand that list to other personality types that I was encountering. And what I started to notice is there were very distinct types that I kept encountering over and over. So at first it started out as an idea, well, you know what, I'm going to make a great TV show or a movie about this because
like
these
the
stories
office,
need
right.
Exactly, like The Office, but these stories need to be told to the world. And what ended up happening is I started talking to friends and other colleagues and people at other companies about it, and they started to validate that these people actually exist. And so what ended up happening is I saw that this was helping me in my job and knowing how to accommodate and also use these various characteristics to help the change efforts. And after all, innovation is change. You're going to be doing something different as a company than what you were doing before. And most people are very resistant. So one way to overcome that resistance is really deeply understanding each person's motivation. And these types really help you do that.
So is this like a Myers-Briggs, or can you give us an idea of what these types are?
Yeah, I don't have a partner, so it's just Factor right now. There's no hyphenated other person. But yeah, it's a little bit like that. I think they, you know, if you worked hard enough, you could probably map these to Myers-Briggs personalities. But really, these are things, you know, that are unique to corporations because there's an element of self-selection, right? There are certain types of people that are attracted to a corporate job versus people who are attracted to, you know, non profits or people who are attracted to government or art. So I think that, you know, you might encounter these in other walks of life, but you're definitely going to encounter them in corporations.
So give me an idea of sort of your three most common of these personality types that you would see in an office.
Well, I think, you know, on the senior levels, you're going to have two major types. You're going to have, or actually three, you're going to have alphas, which are people who typically are, you know, they live and breathe the company, you know, so that is core to their identity. Their job defines them and they will do a lot of times anything to get to the top. You know, some are, you know, much more pragmatic, some are more noble than others, but really they are driven by playing this corporate game. It motivates them and they're going to do whatever it takes.
Now, is that what you called an alpha?
That's an alpha.
Okay, right.
So those are typically who run the companies or divisions within a corporation. Now, you also have others I call survivors near the top. Now, they're people who aren't necessarily, as aggressive, but they know how to work the system.
Right. I think that one's self-explanatory, right? We all know survivors.
Yeah.
What about the people who are sort of middle management or kind of the lower ranks? Like I think there's a toiler, right?
Yeah, so the toiler probably makes up the bulk of any corporate population. These are people who, you know, really work for them is important in the sense that it gives them money and resources to do the things they really love outside of work, whether it's family or hobbies or whatever else. So to them, you know, they're not going to get caught up in the rah-rah culture. They're not going to get motivated by emotional corporate speeches. They want to get their work done and they want to go home. So, and they range. Some are extremely competent and great at their tasks, and then others are going to be frustrating and you're going to bang your head against the wall if you try to get them to do something.
Does anyone ever want to actually admit to being a toiler? Do you ask people what they are?
You know, it's funny. I got an email the other day from a friend of mine who said, "I'm a natural, right?" And I wrote
and
back
tell
to
everyone
him,
what
said,
a natural is. What's a natural?
So a natural,
which is what
is
I thought I was, by the way.
Everyone thinks that's what they are. I think partially it's how I wrote it. But naturals are people who are naturally ambitious but gregarious, but they also need work to align with their personal motivations and beliefs. So they need to know why they're doing something as well as what they're doing. Whereas the alpha will just execute. Whereas the natural also needs to know, why am I executing the thing that I'm being asked to do, or why is this project important? So that's the main difference. And they also like a little bit more of a work-life balance. So my friend wrote me, I'm a natural, right? And I wrote him back. I said, well, a natural would never ask. So you're more of a survivor, but I don't love you any less.
So if you would like to describe your boss, Steve is going to help us identify his or her type. Call 312-923-9239. Steve, how does sort of knowing someone's personality help you deal with them better? What kind of tips do you have for that? How do you sort of figure out, maybe, I think oftentimes in the workplace, we just get in these sort of relationship ruts where we decide we can't work with someone, right?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to this. There's the knowing yourself, self-awareness, and then there's understanding others. And when it comes to understanding others, you need to know what motivates them. And that's probably the biggest lesson in all of this, because you need, if you want to get something out of another person, you have to understand why they do the things they do in the first place. And so when you ask them for something, you have to have a sense of the language as well as the substance of what it is that motivates them and how to position it in a way that triggers those motivations. So I think being perceptive about it is the first step, but then it's about understanding carrots and sticks, because people don't just change. Change is not something they do. A lot of people don't just take on extra work unless it advances a goal of theirs. So you need to understand, you know, so for example, a survivor responds to sticks, right? So they're afraid of losing their status. They know they have a sweet gig and they don't want you to screw it up for them. So for them, you need to show that others have already bought in on whatever it is you're trying to get them to do, that another senior person who they respect or rely on or is responsible for their success also believes in whatever it is you're asking them to do. Then they will act. Now, on the carrot side, you know, heretics, for example, they're not about the money. So heretic is a type we haven't talked about. So heretic is kind of a wild card.
Is that what you are?
A little bit.
Or maybe a lot of people also want to be heretics. They're like, I'm a wild card.
Yeah, well, you know, and I float kind of, or at least I'd like to think I float somewhere between natural and heretic. The heretic is someone who is a wild card. They could end up as Richard Branson, or they could end up just getting completely burned out by corporate and working
getting
in a call
fired
center.
A lot, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Steve, let me stop you for a second there, because we do have someone on the line, but we're speaking with Steve Factor. He's the managing director of Idea Factory, an innovation incubator that helps corporations get products to market. He's a former executive of American Express, Citi, and MasterCard. We have Susan from Chicago on the line. Susan, hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, can you describe your boss?
I would love to. So, a nicer guy you couldn't meet, just super affable, really gregarious, great interpersonal skills, refuses to have accountability for staff, and will absolutely not delegate or share his work, which is enormous, the hardest worker I've ever seen, kind of crazy level of work, but won't sort of allow his colleagues and support staff to support him.
So he doesn't necessarily micromanage, but he sort of takes everything on himself.
Exactly.
Steve, what do you think?
Susan, let me ask you. I was going to ask a follow-up, Susan. Don't hang up. Do others recognize this fault in this person? Is this generally known throughout the company?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And has he been stuck?
I've talked about it with multiple people. We all sort of nod our heads when we see it happening.
So, Steve, what personality type is he, and how can Susan deal better with him?
So I think he's probably a soldier or a toiler that made it higher, or who flew higher than what he was capable of. So he's probably over his head. So I think that that's a situation, Susan, where you need to structure them, where you have to walk in with the plan. And it's very tough for someone who, let's say, is a natural to report to a toiler who's overextended, or a soldier who kind of keeps them down. So I think the most important thing for you to do is come in with a plan. Walk in with a list of what you're going to do, when it's going to be done, who's going to do it, and have them just sign off and say, okay, you all almost have to pre-digest the work for them.
Manage up, as they say these days.
Manage
up. So that's what you mean by managing up. Okay, thanks. Steve, tell us, what is it? Thank you, Susan, for that. Steve, what's a soldier?
So soldier is someone who is, represent the company beliefs very well. They're someone who's a company man or woman, so to speak. So they're typically very good at one thing, but they're not as diverse in their skill set as others. So they'll make it up to middle management roles. They might be good at project management or HR or analysis or finance, whatever it is. But they really have a limit to how far they can progress because they don't have that well-rounded. And a lot of times they're not as great at networking, but they're often very effective in the right roles.
So in terms of these sort of personality types, is there ones that people should be particularly wary of? Like, is there a most dangerous one, or someone who's kind of the most destructive to an organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I think survivors are very, very tricky and manipulative characters.
Because they maintain the status quo so much. Is that it?
They defend the status quo because they know, look, they're probably at a point where they're not making it any higher up and they're not going to move to a different company. So they are completely resistant to change and they don't want you screwing up their good thing. So they're, and if you corner them or try to get them to change, they will fight back and they'll use a very powerful network that they've established.
Right, that's
over
why
the
they're
years
survivors, right. Okay.
That's why they're survivors. So they know how to work the system. So that is and ultimately that could end up being a cancer to the organization because you've got these people who in roles they're clogging up positions that would be much better served by people of other types who can really move that business forward, but instead they're stuck because of loyalty or whatever other alternative reason.
And so do you feel like in terms of these personality types, do you feel like there's every sort of office or corporate environment should have a healthy mix of them? Or maybe the survivor would be better off if they weren't there? Or, do heretics work well with alphas? How does that work?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to this. There's managing the people that are already there inside your building. And then there's moving people and recruiting new people, right? So you want to make sure you don't put the wrong types under certain types of people. So, for example, as Susan called up earlier, she might be a natural who's stuck under an overextended toiler. So that's just a bad combination. She's going to get frustrated and she might leave or might underperform, and the company will suffer as a result. So I think it's very important not to stick highly ambitious types like alphas and naturals under people who are survivors or soldiers, because those people get sometimes very defensive or jealous or just keep those people from performing at their peak. Naturals, on the other hand, are very good at managing the diversity of personality types. So they know how to get the best out of a toiler and they know how to get the best out of a heretic. So I think that knowing that and knowing how people are wired can help you recruit better. But most importantly, it helps you get good people out of bad situations.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that, Steve. I feel like you should make one of those, like those astrological calendars where you look up your compatibility with each other. I think you should do that. If my boss is this, can I get along with them?
That's next. It's coming up.
Okay. Well, thank you. Steve Factor is a former executive, a Forbes contributor. You can find a link to this article on our website. He's also the author of the book Econovation, The Red, White, and Blue Pill for Arousing Innovation. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Nyla.